For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul opens the scriptures to show that the good news of God's grace is not new at all, but is solidly rooted in the Old Testament, as shown in the story of Abraham, the father of God's people. What Paul is referring to is the story of how Abraham, or Abram, was asked to leave his home and go to an unknown land where he would receive an inheritance and his name would become great. And when God said go, or according to some translations, go you, Abram went, apparently without hesitation, taking his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot with him. Now we know that in ancient societies, places and relationships were important considerations in life, vitally important. A person's home and network of family and friends provided the protection and means of support that we take for granted from the political and economic structures that exist today. For Abraham, leaving home would have meant breaking all ties with his homeland, leaving his language, his culture, his reputation, everything he had ever known and depended on for survival. So to ask this of someone in Abraham's world was to ask him to do the impossible. And yet he went. He went not on the promise of a better life someplace else. In fact, it was almost guaranteed that his life would be worse, at least at first. He went on the promise of a blessing that he would embody as the father of a new people. And today, over half the people in the world, Jews, Christians, Muslims, venerate Abraham as the ancestor of their faith, finding in his story a prototype or model for trusting in the promises of God in their own spiritual lives. I remember when I was a child in Sunday school, hearing the story of Abraham's call as the beginning of a great adventure. An elderly man packing up his household, setting out without a road map or itinerary, not knowing or apparently caring where he was going. And the heroic image of Abraham and Sarah that was fixed in my mind at an early age has never quite left me. Later, thankfully, as I heard more of Abraham's story, of his openness and obedience to whatever God asked of him and whatever God gave or did not give him, his difficulties and his mistakes, I came to see Abraham's faith in greater depth. But it was only very recently that I began to relate the story of Abraham to my own faith journey in a way that you could describe as personal. Many of you probably know that during most of my 30-some years of part-time ministry here at St. Paul's, I have been employed full-time as an attorney for the state of North Carolina. Employed, that is, until January 1st of this year, when I finally retired, which some of you may also know. A couple of months into it, I can honestly say that I'm only beginning to figure this retirement thing out. Folks still ask me about my plans. What am I going to do in retirement? And I usually mumble something about being involved in parish ministry or attending to some long-deferred home maintenance. both of which I think are gradually coming along. And when they ask if I'm going to do any traveling, this seems to be the big question for all retirees. I say I have no plans as yet, other than visiting friends and relatives. These trips are still mainly on the horizon. And in the meantime, I've made a lot of runs to the recycling facilities, and I've put aside a few items to take to Dorcas Ministries, and I've bought a pair of walking shoes. My accomplishments so far are admittedly rather modest, pretty much in keeping with my goals, I think. But I've been wondering lately, not worrying, just wondering, if I'm overlooking something. Shouldn't I be a little more intentional about this new period in my life? After all, who among us, given a choice, would continue on life's journey without having a few milestones in mind, just as they did starting out? Things might not have gone in exactly as planned, and likely as not. For some of us, there may have been a little planning, or bad planning, or just bad luck. But in hindsight, we can see that there have been certain markers along the way, markers like getting an education, getting professional credentials, getting a job or many jobs, buying a house or many houses, opening a 401k account, marrying perhaps, having a family, becoming affiliated with social, political, charitable, and religious institutions. But what I've been wondering are the markers for the years ahead. What should I be doing now that I haven't done in order to get the journey right going forward? Goodness knows I've filled out enough forms and called enough toll-free numbers. But now what? Where does my journey go from here? These were my questions as I entered the season of Lent. Then I began to realize that the journey I should be making now is less about following the familiar route of outward milestones and life plans, and more about being drawn inward. I began to realize that the journey I should be making now is less about learning what to do, or what to want, or what to have, and more about finding out what I'm really made of. I began to realize that the journey I should be making now is less about facing the unknown and more about trusting in the graces of the known. But above all, I began to realize in a new and rather powerful way that for me, making this journey means first doing as Abraham did and letting go. Letting go of the past and of the present, and of what little I can imagine of the future. Now, this may seem glaringly obvious to some people, but it took the season of Lent to bring it into focus for me at this point in my life. And it took the story of Abraham to remind me that letting go is both a life-sized and a lifelong process. Henry Nouwen once wrote that true repentance is an inner attitude in which we are willing to let go of everything that prevents us from growing into spiritual maturity, and that there is hardly a moment in our lives in which we are not invited to detach ourselves from certain ways of thinking, ways of speaking, ways of acting, that for a long time gave us energy, but that always again need to be renewed and recreated. If Lent is a time for us to test what we're made of, by making an inward journey to a deeper understanding of ourselves. It is a time to ask what we are struggling against, what we are clinging to, what we need to let go of in order to grow nearer to the heart of God. This testing, this letting go, this dying and being born again can be a fearful process. It goes against our natural instincts. It must be learned, and it requires constant practice. Whenever we first experience change or loss, we almost always resist it. But it is a part of the larger process of life, our life's journey. And like the journey itself, it is a gift. And the good news is that if we are patient, the Spirit will lead us and we will be met by grace at every turn. As we continue on our Lenten journey, may we be attentive to the process of death and resurrection taking place within us, that we may be shaped in the way of the cross and prepared to meet the risen Lord. Amen.